Carbon dioxide is all around us. Plants use it for food, humans exhale it, and it's even used to make your soda fizzy. But it's produced in serious problematic quantities when we burn fossil fuels, such as every time we jump in a car, and to produce the majority of the electricity we use. When we do that, we're taking carbon that was once stored in the ground and putting it into the atmosphere as carbon dioxide, or CO2. CO2 is a greenhouse gas. Greenhouse gases help trap heat in the atmosphere. Climate scientists predict that if we keep producing them at current rates, annual average global temperatures will rise by 9 degrees by the end of this century. To prevent some of the catastrophes that would cause, researchers want to stash CO2 emissions in the ground. It's kind of like trying to put soda bubbles back in the can. Eugene Holubniak is a petroleum engineer at the Kansas Geological Survey and the project lead of a Department of Energy-funded study on how practical carbon capture would be in the Midwest. He says Kansas would play a key role in any major project.
I think we're centrally located, and I think we have all the necessary components that need to be in place in order to be a hub for distributing CO2.
A potential project would work something like this. First, capture the CO2 coming from the exhaust stacks of a power plant. Then compress that CO2 into a liquid, put it in a pipeline, and send it to a well, near or far, that would pump it deep into the ground. In some cases, it would be put into what's known as a saline aquifer, essentially a natural underground storage tank. In other cases, it would be used for something called enhanced oil recovery. That's a method of oil production that involves injecting CO2 into the ground to push hard-to-reach oil and gas toward a well that pumps it out to the surface. But doing all that, at least right now, would be expensive.
The lowest hanging fruit is ethanol. These are ethanol plants. Ethanol plants you can capture CO2 relatively easily and relatively cheaply.
That's because, unlike the byproduct of burning coal, which contains multiple chemicals, pollutants that would have to be separated before you pump anything into the ground, the byproduct of making ethanol is a relatively pure stream of CO2.
The challenge is that the relative to the size of a power plant, ethanol plants are pretty small.
That's Brendan Jordan. He works for the Great Plains Institute, a nonprofit that works on transforming the country's energy systems.
And so that's why we look at building regional pipeline networks that would draw in multiple different ethanol plants and other sources as well, as we learn to bring down the cost of capture from power plants and other industrial sources.
And a lot of people might be eager. Environmentalists support a project like that because it could help curb climate change. Ethanol plants like it because it opens up a new revenue stream selling CO2 to oil and gas companies. And the oil and gas industry is on board because it's looking for a cheap, consistent source of CO2 to use in enhanced oil recovery. That kind of broad support makes him optimistic a commercial project will get done in the next 5 to 10 years.
The problem we have in the Midwest is a mismatch between where a lot of the ethanol plants are and where the appropriate geology is.
Kansas is right in the middle of that equation. Not only would any major pipeline project have to run through the state, allowing both producers and consumers of CO2 to easily connect, it also has the right geology for either storage or enhanced oil recovery. Jordan says carbon capture and storage isn't a silver bullet that's going to solve global emissions problems, but it can be a crucial part of any successful strategy. All that's left now is to find enough companies willing to take the risk of investing in such a massive project. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Brian Grimmett in Wichita.